If doctors, nurses, and grocery store clerks can wear a mask for 10 or 12-hour shifts, you can wear a mask for an hour or less when you go to the store. Do your part. Mask up, America.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, October 1st. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. A Twitter data partner is selling a service to law enforcement and other agencies that monitors Twitter on their behalf and provides alerts that include information about potential protests and possible criminal behavior. The practice has highlighted a divide over what level of social media monitoring constitutes surveillance. Our reporter Parmi Olson will explain after these headlines. Facebook says it plans to integrate the messaging services of its Messenger and Instagram apps, allowing users from both platforms to reach each other. As of right now, Messenger serves as the direct messaging app for Facebook users, while Instagram has its own messaging service. Speaking of Facebook, we report that the House Antitrust Subcommittee is nearly finished with its 15-month investigation of Google, Apple, Amazon, and Facebook. Democratic lawmakers are expected to call on Congress to curb the power of big tech, possibly by forcing them to separate their various online platforms. Here's our reporter Ryan Tracy on what that could mean for these companies.
You know, it's basically a breakup, right? It would say if you own a large platform that customers or businesses use, you can't also own businesses that sort of compete with other users of the platform. And so, you know, we don't have a lot of detail on what that means because the proposal's not actually out yet. But, you know, in general, what it could mean is like Google couldn't own Google Maps, or Amazon might not be able to sell Amazon-made products on its marketplace. And so, you know, we'd have to see what the details were. But certainly the reason these companies oppose it is because, you know, these kind of add-on services are a big way that they make money off of their platforms. And so, you know, they view it as a threat to their business.
The report will follow the committee's collection of more than a million documents from the companies and their competitors, as well as this summer's blockbuster hearing with the company's CEOs. And tech stocks helped fuel a second straight quarter of dramatic stock market gains in the U.S. The tech-heavy Nasdaq surged 11% for the third quarter, and it's up 45% for the past 6 months. That's its biggest two-quarter gain since 2000. Plus, there were two highly anticipated tech debuts yesterday. The data mining company Palantir and the business software maker Asana both went public via direct listing. Palantir ended its first day of trading up 31%, and Asana finished the day up 37%. Up next, what constitutes surveillance? Different groups have different answers. More on that after the break.
Business Wars' newest season is all about pizza, as they explore the Domino's versus Pizza Hut rivalry and the special sauce that makes these global brands so successful. Pizza Hut and Domino's both started as small shops in the heartland of America, but when their businesses began to rise, they inspired a whole host of competitors to join the market, forcing both companies to innovate at a rapid pace. From competing home delivery models to direct pricing wars, Domino's and Pizza Hut have consistently led the way of a $100 billion industry. So which do you prefer, Pizza Hut or Domino's? Listen to the newest season of Business Wars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or listen ad-free on the Wondery app.
Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey has pledged that Twitter's data won't be used for government surveillance. He said so before Congress. We report that one of Twitter's data partners, a company called Dataminer, has been selling a service to law enforcement and other agencies that monitors Twitter on their behalf. The alerts it sends out include information about potential demonstrations and possible criminal behavior. That places Twitter and Dataminer at odds with privacy advocates over what level of social media monitoring qualifies as surveillance. Our reporter Parmi Olson has been looking into this, and she joins us now to explain. Parmi, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
Okay, so backing up, can you just tell us about the relationship between Twitter and Dataminer? How does their partnership work?
So Dataminer is officially a, what you can call a data partner of Twitter, which means that it has real-time access to all the hundreds of millions of tweets that people send out every day around the world.
And what does Dataminer do with all that information?
So essentially, one of the services that Dataminer provides is to trawl through all those hundreds of millions of tweets every day and find events or incidents that police or government clients like the military might want to know about to help them in their work.
And they take those and they send out alerts to those groups. What kind of alerts do they send out? What do they entail?
Yeah, it's actually quite a big variety of alerts that get sent out. So Dataminr says that it sends out alerts about things like natural disasters or attacks that first responders need to get to quickly, so ambulances and police, if there's some kind of attack or crime that's happened. Sometimes people will post things to Twitter immediately if they've witnessed some kind of violent crime or there's been a fire. And this kind of service can be helpful to those first responders. During the Black Lives Matter protests, as they were happening in June and throughout the summer, tweets about planned protests happening in Atlanta, for example, were also included in this alerting system that was going to police and government agencies. So we spoke to one man who had tweeted some video footage about a protest that was happening in Atlanta. That tweet that he put up with the video footage ended up being sent to Defense Department staffers. When we spoke to that man, he said he had no idea that his tweet would be sent to the authorities. And he was a little disturbed by it as well.
And you know, that sort of trawling, that sort of information gathering, do Twitter and Dataminr call that surveillance?
It's a good question. The answer is no, they do not call that surveillance. So Dataminr itself says that when it sends alerts, including tweets about protests, that is not surveillance. Twitter itself also says that Dataminr isn't breaking its rules on surveillance. In terms of how the companies have explained this to us, one executive at Twitter told us that in practice, Twitter defines surveillance as the ongoing monitoring of specific people and organizations. Dataminr itself told us that its alerting service was actually built with Twitter's help to prevent surveillance by government customers. Dataminr also told us that it doesn't let those customers like police or military users search or track specific accounts. So the answer to that is no. Both companies deny that this is surveillance in practice.
As I mentioned before, Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey has been pretty vocal about Twitter not being used for government surveillance. How do those statements square with this practice with Dataminr?
So it's true, first off, that yes, Jack Dorsey has said, actually back in 2018 in congressional testimony, that Twitter has a responsibility to protect its users from, and he termed it, constant 24/7 surveillance. And it's actually written into Twitter's rules for developers that other companies who use its data can't use it for surveillance. And it says that it can't be used for monitoring sensitive events, including but not limited to protests. End of the quote. So when we think about the word surveillance, you're probably thinking about police or intelligence agencies watching people or tapping phones to look for new information. That's kind of the traditional image you might have in your mind's eye of that. These days, the definition of surveillance has actually become a bit more of a gray area. And that's largely because people post so much information about what's going on in their lives on social media. And actually, most of that information is public.
You know, I want to talk about the other side of this gray area. What about privacy advocates? Do they call this practice surveillance?
Well, yes, they do. And that kind of goes back to your question of how do those statements square with this practice? Privacy and civil liberties groups have told us actually that what Twitter is allowing Dataminr to do on the behalf of police and government agencies is in fact a form of surveillance, and that Twitter is letting this company break Twitter's own rules on the issue.
So it seems like there's pretty wide disagreement over what the definition of this word surveillance even is.
Absolutely. It's kind of like a constantly evolving debate. And not just with civil liberties advocates, but even within Dataminr itself. In working on this story, we spoke to several people who had worked at that company up until recently, and they said they were also concerned about how police and the military were using this alerting service for tweets and other social media posts to make decisions. So I think part of the issue comes back to this gray area. So Twitter says it bans companies from using tweets to conduct surveillance. We spoke to a former executive at Dataminr who told us that Twitter had actually been pretty vague in defining the rules around that. This person said that when executives at Twitter were talking to executives at Dataminr, they used the term, quote, surveillance vaguely to allude to what our source called creepy things. And this person also said that Twitter just wasn't precise about what activity that actually entailed.
You know, one thing that struck me, we talk about data privacy a lot on this podcast. It's been a big topic of conversation amongst regulators lately. But many of the issues that we talk about center on who has access to users' private data. And a big thing that is coming up here is that we're talking about information that's public, information that's already out there in the world.
Right. And that's something that the companies who are involved in this will bring up. And it's also something that law enforcement officials have said that if you post information on social media, you should expect that police might see that information. And thus, this kind of observation by police doesn't amount to surveillance. There's this kind of expectation that the information is public because it's been posted in this way. So I think this is something that companies and the advocacy groups are going to have to work through, you know, particularly in the next few years, as these kinds of systems, which are parsing through millions of snippets of data every day and our social media data, just get more and more advanced.
All right, we'll be following Wall Street Journal reporter Parmi Olsen. Parmi, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Thanks for listening.